From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Since 1990, the Covenant Fellowship Church has been a well-respected Christian institution at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Started by a former U of I student, Pastor Min Joshua Chung, the church recruited on the U of I campus and attracted a large, predominantly Korean-American congregation. With his charismatic and fatherly way, Pastor Chung earned a national reputation as one of the most influential Korean-American pastors in the country, guiding his young congregants into adulthood. But from the beginning, hidden below the surface, were many instances of sexual and spiritual abuse. They've recently come to light through a long investigation by Chicago's NPR member station, WBEZ. The cover-up has shaken the church and its current and former congregants, and today, CFC describes itself as a church in a crisis. Joining us are two reporters who worked on this story. Esther Yoon-Ji Kang is a race, class, and communities reporter for WBEZ. Esther, thank you for joining us today on The 21st.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Also with us is Susie Ahn, education reporter for WBEZ. Susie, welcome to you as well.
Good to be here.
And listeners, we want to warn you that we will be discussing, obviously, sensitive topics involving sexual abuse and assault. It may not be appropriate for some ears. You'll also hear clips of survivors describing what they experienced. That said, we do want to invite you to join our conversation, especially if you have a connection to CFC. If you maybe attended the church, you're familiar with it. Our lines are open, 800-222-9455. We can take any questions for our guests. Again, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. I first want to ask, this is a story, as I said, about a church on the campus at U of I Urbana. How did you hear about this story and what was happening there?
Yeah, so we get tips via the WBEZ website. And sometime in May, I got a tip from a former U of I student who was directing me to this Instagram page. And so, you know, I went to check it out, and I was up until about 3 a.m. that night, you know, just looking through every single post on that Instagram page. And the next morning I thought about it some more. And, you know, we typically vet, obviously we vet these tips and then we take them to our editor. And it was a story that felt a little too close to home for me. I mean, I'm Korean American myself. And I actually know people who went to U of I and went to Covenant Fellowship Church or CFC. So it felt too close to home at first. And yet the stories of the victims, I mean, it was just heartbreaking to read story after story. And so that's how we found out about it. And that's how we began our investigation.
Yeah. So, Susie, we just heard Esther talking about this Instagram account. This is Letters from Rahab, which I gather is a character from the Bible. And it had these survivor stories of sexual and spiritual abuse at CFE. Can you talk about the genesis and the role that this social media account has played in your investigation in this story?
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. This account started through a member at CFC who was just unhappy with how the church was handling a specific incident with the former pastor, Pastor Min Chung. And so from there, just kind of started as someone kind of giving their thoughts of what was happening. And then maybe after a few weeks, this person opened it up for folks to submit their experiences. And much to their surprise, you know, they were flooded with different stories of people sharing their experiences. And through that, we connected with some of the survivors who shared their stories of spiritual abuse, sexual abuse, and just a culture of misogyny, a culture that tried to silence people when they spoke out about things that they experienced. And so that was huge, and being able to connect with survivors, the Instagram account.
And Susie, if I remember correctly, you went to U of I. Were you familiar? How familiar were you with this church when you were on campus?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I, you know, this is about 20 years ago, I went to U of I, and my older brother before me went to U of I. And so as I was coming in as a freshman, you know, he kind of warned me. And just to, as background, I'm also a Korean American. And so, you know, he said something to me kind of like, offhand comment that CFC is kind of a cult, you know, I would maybe not go to CFC. And that is kind of the cult is sort of people would jokingly describe CFC as sort of as a cult, that you would be spending a lot of time there if you became a member. So I kind of stayed away. So I, you know, this is something that has kind of, that kind of description has kind of followed them for a very long time.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's a great segue, actually, into a clip I want to play from your piece that shows why many Asian Americans did gravitate towards Covenant Fellowship Church.
They do a really good job at, like, drawing in freshmen.
The worship team doesn't suck. It is the best music that we've heard at church.
You feel seen. You feel, like, totally accepted.
When Amos Lee got to campus from suburban Skokie, he was impressed by CFC. Where Asian Americans may have been marginalized in larger society, he says at CFC, they found their voice.
We all grew up in racialized societies where we don't see people like us in power. And you come to CFC and you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Korean Americans. All of your leaders are Korean Americans. All of your pastors are Korean Americans.
And so, Esther, this church, I mean, we just heard Susie talking about the reach it had, and we heard the clip there, but this church had a national reputation as well, right?
Absolutely. One pastor out on the East Coast actually said that he would describe Min Chung as maybe the most influential Korean-American pastor in America, maybe not as far as the West Coast, but definitely in the Midwest and the East Coast. He was pretty well known. He went to speak at a lot of retreats and conferences. He created a conference for young adult or for youth groups. Just everybody sort of knew about it. And a lot of the Korean students from the Chicago area and outside the state even knew that this was the place to go when they went to U of I. And so it definitely had a wide reach. At the same time, you know, I think this story sort of flew under the radar because it felt like such an Asian American niche story, and people just kind of felt, oh, well, this is just a little Korean church somewhere in Illinois. But really, in Korean American circles, it had quite a huge influence.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce you. Listeners, if you're just joining us, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with two reporters from WBEZ, the NPR member station in Chicago, who've recently reported an investigative piece on the history of sexual and spiritual abuse at Covenant Fellowship Church, which is on the campus of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Our guests are Esther Yoon-Ji Kang, who's race, class, and communities reporter for WBEZ, and Susie Ahn, an education reporter at WBEZ. We can take your calls at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. I want to play a clip from one of the sources in your story. You call her Anna Ree, which, and there are pseudonyms in your story, I should add. But this is about an encounter she had with another church member. And listeners, again, I do want to warn you, you're about to hear what describes a sexual assault.
She started hanging out with a male friend from church. One summer day, he came over to her apartment while her roommates were out. They started kissing, but things quickly spun out of control.
He started, he was on top of me. He started to undo his pants, and I started freaking out.
She repeatedly said no, but he wouldn't stop. She was able to push him off and run to the bathroom, where she locked herself inside until he left. Ree says she was sure he would have raped her if she hadn't been able to fight him off. A friend encouraged her to go to their pastor for guidance, Pastor Min Chung of CFC. He was sympathetic, but discouraged Ree from reporting the incident to authorities.
But he said, you know, your parents are well-respected members of their church. Your father's an elder. I just feel like if they found out, they would be like devastated, you know, how people talk.
So what happened next in Annerie's story?
Well, for Annerie, and actually her experience is sort of an example of what other women experienced. You know, they would go to the pastor, they would go seeking help. And, you know, they were pretty much told, you know, we're sympathetic to what happened to you. We want to help you. We'll talk to this man and we'll keep an eye on him. And as Annerie found out, nothing was actually done. You know, she held this with her for years. This was about 20 years ago. And you know, she told us that at the time she thought maybe she was the only person that this happened to, that no one else in the church had experienced anything like this. You know, she didn't even tell her parents. And so she held this guilt and this feeling of responsibility of something that happened to her for so long. And she didn't get the help that she needed at the time. And the you know, the person who, you know, I'll say, I guess, attempted to rape her, just kind of went off without, you know, much consequence.
Esther, in your piece, you reveal both instances of not only sexual abuse, but also spiritual abuse among the survivors at CFC. And a lot of people might not be as familiar with that phrase, spiritual abuse. Can you talk about what that means?
Sure. So spiritual abuse is when a religious leader or spiritual leader of a church or an organization attempts to control and manipulate somebody, and particularly using tenets of the faith, right? So, you know, they try to cite scripture to say, this is why you should do what I want you to do. And for, you know, one of the commonly cited scriptures in sexual abuse cases is Matthew 18:15, in which Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, you go tell him his fault between you and him alone. And so this is often used by religious leaders to say, you know, this is a private matter, no need to go to the authorities, we will settle this right here. And as soon as someone says, I'm sorry, then they could feel like they've settled the case, right? And so there's that piece of scripture. There's also a scripture in 1 Timothy 5, where they say elders are worthy of double honor. And that's something that Min Chung cited to students and said, not students and young adults who confronted him, and they said, you know, hey, why don't you come forward with this? Why don't you face accountability? And he said, you know, I've settled this privately. So Matthew 18, and then 1 Timothy 5, elders are worthy of double honor. Don't dig any further. And so spiritual abuse is just when leaders do this to their congregants. Now, some experts that we talked to also say that spiritual abuse and sexual abuse often go hand in hand, and you can kind of see why that happened here at CFC.
And just a couple of minutes before we need to break, but Susie, can you also talk about the role of shame? Some of the survivors you talked to talked years later about feeling like they were to blame.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, that definitely goes into what Esther just talked about with spiritual abuse, just that responsibility of you know, women, were the ones who felt that they were to blame. That sense of shame fell a lot on women in the church, with the culture of making women sort of the stumbling blocks for men. So if women dressed a certain way, if they, you know, even spoke a certain way, they were chastised for that. And so when something like sexual assault or abuse happens, they're shamed for that, because maybe, you know, they're told, well, what did you do to caused this to happen? You know, how did you dress? How did you talk to this person for this to happen? So oftentimes these women who are seeking help were shamed for the thing that happened to them as the victim. And that, you know, that was seen in various parts of the church culture, not just through sexual misconduct, but in, you know, what we've been hearing about spiritual abuse as well.
All right, we need to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation about CFC, the Covenant Fellowship Church on the campus of the U of I Urbana-Champaign. We're speaking with two WBEZ reporters who have been investigating sexual abuse allegations there. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the pastor of the church. The allegations go beyond just encouraging congregants not to report what happened to them, but there are actual allegations against him as well. This conversation will continue after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with two reporters who've been investigating the history of sexual and spiritual abuse at Covenant Fellowship Church, which is located on the campus of the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. The reporters are with Chicago public radio station WBEZ. They are Esther Yoon-Ji Kang, who's race, class, and communities reporter there, and Susie Ahn, an education reporter at WBEZ. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. So I want to now turn to the aspect of your reporting that focuses on the pastor, Min Joshua Chung. We talked a little earlier about how charismatic he was. He had sort of a national reputation, one of the most influential Korean American pastors in America, or at least east of the Mississippi, you said earlier. There are some allegations, though, made against the pastor that go beyond just encouraging his congregants to keep quiet about what they experienced. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so last summer, actually not last summer, in 2019, sort of people started talking about this one incident that happened in 2001. Rumors kind of started circulating, and the rumors kind of got out of control, and the church felt this need to make an announcement about it. So at this leaders meeting, the lead pastor, one of the senior pastors, announced that Min Chung had, you know, inappropriately touched a woman in 2001. They described it as brief over the clothing touch, but it was non-consensual. And so that was how they described it. Now, since then, we have talked to a number of people who say that that version of the story is actually sanitized and minimized, and that there was more to the story. The victim herself does not wish to come forward. And so, you know, in terms of what CFC has said or what Pastor Min Chung has said, you know, that's sort of the only thing that's on the record in terms of the description of the incident. But people who have spoken to the victim, and people who have spoken to others who have spoken to the victim, there's just a number of folks who are saying that really the version that they're hearing from both the church and the, you know, former pastor is minimized and sanitized.
And Esther, let's just be clear here then. So what has Pastor Chung, or has he said in response to these allegations?
Well, so he has not spoken to us directly. We've tried to, you know, reach him via phone, email, we texted him, we've reached out to his social media account. We even drove to his home in Urbana to deliver a letter with questions, and he has not responded to any of them. And so right now we have no response as of yet.
Okay, and I do want to point out that we here at the 21st also reached out to CFC, mentioning we're going to be talking about this reporting, this story, and asked for at least a statement. We did not hear back from them. They do, however, have a statement online addressed to their church community that reads in part, "These past 2 years, we have struggled together through disruptive chaos that has affected our church in unimaginable ways. Coupled with a pandemic, these experiences have been magnified. We are in a crisis. Through this, what God has brought up to the surface is a deep-seated pain that we as the CFC leadership want to acknowledge. Our hearts are grieved. We grieve for those who are hurting because of what they have experienced at CFC. We are praying that God will bring you healing." And it's signed the Oversight Board. Susie, the piece also profiles another Chinese student who was a victim named Michelle Lin. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about her story?
Sure. And actually, if you don't mind, I just want to also mention with Pastor Chung's incident, you know, following the incident with him and the other church member, he quote unquote counseled that woman following that incident. So that was another part that, you know, pointed not just to any sort of misconduct, but could easily be seen as a possibility of spiritual abuse, that following that incident that he would then counsel that woman through that. So I just wanted to mention that as well. Mm. And now with the another student that we former student who we spoke to, and again, this is a pseudonym. This is Michelle Lin. You know, she told us, as someone who arrived on the U of I campus, you know, she was very excited to join CFC. She was from out of state, so being able to kind of plug into a church community very quickly was very exciting to her. She also described herself as sort of a sheltered girl when she came to U of I. So she met another CFC member, and they quickly got into a relationship. It moved too quickly for her. And, you know, she said that she didn't see the red flags because she had never really been in a relationship before. Just, I guess, a content warning before I mention this to listeners. So she was repeatedly raped by her boyfriend. And it was an abusive relationship. She sought help from CFC leadership and eventually met with Pastor Chung to seek counseling, help to get out of this relationship. And basically she was just, you know, met with, well, you know, why are you in this relationship? Why have you been in this relationship for so long? And not really getting, you know, help and steps of getting out of the relationship, not being directed towards counseling or anything like that. And so she just felt kind of helpless. And after that encounter with CFC leadership, she remained in that relationship for about another year. You know, things just kind of got worse for her. She ended up getting pregnant, having an abortion, being hospitalized after an attempted suicide. You know, she was able to eventually get out of that relationship and find help through a different Christian organization on campus, where she finally realized what she had experienced was abuse. And, you know, being in that relationship at the time, that was not clear to her. You know, as we talk about it now, I mean, it seems very obvious, but, you know, she's being told these things that, you know, not really given any counseling of what is happening to her and how to get out of it. It took so long for her to realize that this was even abuse.
You know, this calls to mind another aspect of your reporting. In the piece you write, quote, "For a predominantly Asian church like CFC, there's another complicating layer, and that's the culture of deference present in some Asian cultures," end quote. Esther, can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, we've just heard this story of sort of victim or survivor shaming, blaming. Can you talk about how this culture of deference that you write about plays into that and how it contributes to this story?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in Eastern cultures, there's the Confucian value of respecting your elders, honoring your elders. And so there's definitely an emphasis on, you know, sort of elevating the pastor and elevating his experience and his age and doing what he says. And even among, you know, undergrads, there was that dynamic. So if you were a freshman, for example, you need to respect and elevate an upperclassman. And age was definitely one of those things that they really emphasized. And so in sort of in Korean American churches, there is a sense of reverence and respect for the pastor that, you know, may not be the case everywhere else. But I think just the Eastern values plus the evangelical values of patriarchy or paternalism, those all sort of melded to create this environment where, you know, what Pastor Min said was the word, was the word of God, in a sense.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've been hearing from Esther Yoon-Ji Kang, who is race, class, and communities reporter at WBEZ, the Chicago NPR member station, and her colleague, education reporter at WBEZ, Susie Ahn. And we're talking about their investigation of CFC, Covenant Fellowship Church, in the Champaign-Urbana area on the campus of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and allegations of sexual abuse among members, even possibly against the pastor there, and how it's been covered up for decades. We got a text from one of our listeners, and I should say, if anybody wants to join, 800-222-9455 is our number. But we got a text from a listener who urged us to stop noting as much that the church is on the campus of the U of I. Say it's in Champaign-Urbana. Yes, this person said that the church is here because of the university, has a lot of members that are associated, but really the association is not with the university. It's not a department of the university. The university has no oversight. But I want to ask you, Susie, what responsibility does the University of Illinois have here?
Well, that's a little tricky. So CFC at one point had a campus ministry that was a registered student organization. You know, that's if you are a U of I student, you know, maybe you know Quad Day in the fall, and where you can sign up for different organizations. CFC had a booth. That's where they would.
I mean,
get
this would be like the College Democrats, College Republicans, college
exactly.
Wannabe astronauts, whatever it is. Yeah,
okay. Exactly. And so, you know, like other campus ministries, they would set up a booth on Quad Day, you know, gain a lot of new members each fall through that. And yes, that is definitely good to note that it definitely is not affiliated with the university. Now CFC chose not to renew its RSO, Registered Student Organization status, back in the spring. So, you know, that means that they won't have a booth on Quad Day. They can't reserve campus space for meetings. You know, people have, I know that some of the survivors that we've spoken to, one in particular, you know, when she was a student, when she was assaulted by another CFC member, she was the rare case of a person who filed a Title IX complaint against, you know, the person who violated her, and you know, that led to that person being expelled from school. Now, that person was a student. You know, both people involved were students. With CFC, it's tricky. You know, if the leadership, they don't have university affiliation. They're no longer they no longer have RSO status. So unless, you know, the person who may have done any sort of wrongdoing, unless they are a student or staff to the university, there really isn't much the university can do.
All right, we have a caller on the line. Paul is calling from Sycamore, Illinois. Paul, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, good morning. I'm very interested to know more about the pastor of this church and where he came from and what his training and qualifications were to be a pastor. There's a lot of this type of thing going on where the pastor is really nothing more than a mail order degree of doctorate of divinity from some place that really doesn't really qualify them to be a pastor of a church, at least in my opinion. I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling, Paul. Appreciate that. Esther, do you want to weigh in on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's not the case with Pastor Min Chung. I mean, he attended a seminary, Biblical Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania, and he had the training, and he, you know, was very much respected in many circles. He, you know, he spoke at number of conferences. He had his doctoral degree. He did a lot of research. So in many ways, he absolutely was qualified. And I think that you're right. You know, the caller is right that there are some pastors who kind of get degrees online or maybe don't have the right qualifications, but this is not the case. And there's also, I should also point out that there are plenty of churches with super, super qualified pastors who do commit sexual abuse and sexual assault and silence their victims. And so it's not, you know, a sort of a scourge that happens when the pastor is unqualified. It's a real regular occurrence in many churches throughout the United States. And I would say that that's one of the things that, you know, the survivors of the story want to convey, that this is not just about Min Chung, the pastor at CFC. It's about making churches safer places for everybody and, you know, everywhere. And so they're speaking out to say that it doesn't end with Min Chung being stripped of his ordination. It ends with, you know, churches becoming a safer place for all women. And they also point out that it wasn't just Min Chung, but the current leadership that's still there at CFC, they sought to silence survivors, and they sought to silence people who were calling for accountability in the same way that Min Chung did. And so they say that what the church is now saying about how they're trying to move forward, they're trying to make changes, that kind of all rings hollow, because many of those leaders defended the pastor. Many of them also cited the same scripture. So that's definitely, I think, something to note.
Esther Yoon-Gi Kang is race, class, and communities reporter at WBEZ, the NPR member station in Chicago. And along with Susie Ahn, they've reported this story on Covenant Fellowship Church in the Champaign-Urbana area on the campus of the University of Illinois. I'm sure we have not heard the last of this story. I want to thank you, Esther and Susie, for sharing your reporting with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.